Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
Well, good morning, Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. My pronouns are she and her. I am the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here at the Center. So, here we are at the end of April, which means this is the final Sunday in our series, Renewal of Our Humanity. And by humanity, for those who maybe haven't been here this month so far, what I'm referring to when I say our humanity is that endless capacity we have as humans to do good. The endless capacity we have to feel and express and act into the world, our kindness, our generosity, our forgiveness, our love, right? And this whole month has been about remembering what it means to be humans, right? To be human beings in this world. And this week we conclude by looking at our collective humanity. Most of the month we've been kind of focused on us as individuals. Well, today we get to focus on human beings in the collective. And being good science and minders that we are, we're going to start with, of course, consciousness. We have our individual consciousness and the collective consciousness. And by consciousness, I mean the sum total of our thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs. And again, we have our collective consciousness, but there is also the collective consciousness of the entire human family. Both individual and collective consciousness are at work in the world. And so what this means as individuals working in the collective is, as individuals, our individual consciousness, we want to be clear drops of consciousness in what is sometimes the cloudy collective consciousness. Just as a glass of cloudy water can be made clear by adding enough drops of clear water, we uplift the collective consciousness by getting clear in our individual consciousness and adding that, contributing that to the collective. So in relation to our humanity, what that means is we want to be as clear in our consciousness as we can. We are called to be as clear in our consciousness as we can for kindness and generosity and acceptance and forgiveness and love. And know that that is how we impact the collective consciousness. And if we can do this, then we can do, as the author Toni Morrison wrote, dream the world as it ought to be. Don't let anybody convince you this is the way the world is and therefore must be. It must be the way it ought to be. And how the world ought to be is based in our love, in our goodness, in our humanity, not in hate, in our inhumanity. So we want to build up our consciousness, right? We want to be that clear drop. And of course, we know how we do this. It's what we teach around here. We can build up our collective consciousness through our individual consciousness by building up our commitment to that humanity, by building up our consciousness around love and justice and equity, right? We do this through meditation. We do this through prayer, and we even do this through the conversations we hold, trying to have conversations that are at a higher vibration. And I don't know about you, but I know about myself, I have not always lived up to this. And we know it's important because, you know, that consciousness, our thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs, and our conversations, they kind of feed each other. So the more I can watch the words I use, the more I can feed or build up my own consciousness, and it's like a positive feedback cycle. And just a little reminder here, when I say work on our consciousness, we each get to work on our own individual consciousness and not try to fix somebody else's consciousness. That's not how we lift up the collective consciousness. We do it by working on our own consciousness. Our founder, Ernest Holmes, gave his last sermon in 1959. And he did so as the final message at the annual conference at Asilomar, which is on the California coast. That sermon has come to be known as Sermon by the Sea. And he opens with these words, "Our religion is not something to be lived merely here at Asilomar, as much inspiration as we receive from it, but rather to take that consciousness which we have arrived at here back with us into whatever activities we may be engaged in. I do not believe life is separated from its living." And he concluded that sermon by the sea with these words, "There is a power transcendent beyond our needs, our little wants. Demonstrating a dime is good if one needs it, or healing oneself of a pain is certainly good if one has it. But beyond that, at the real feast at the tabernacle of the Almighty, in the temple of the living God, in the banquet hall of heaven, there is something beyond anything that you and I have touched. Find 1,000 people who know that and use it, and the world will no longer be famished. How important it is that each one of us, in his simple way, shall live from God, to God, with God, in God, and to each other. That is why we are here and what we are taking back with us, I trust, a vision and an inspiration, something beyond a hope and a longing, that the living spirit shall through us walk anew into its own creation and a new glory come with the new dawn." Yes, it starts in our consciousness. But we are also to let that consciousness lead us to inspired action. Our spiritual life is not to be separated from our living, from our actions in the world. It is these two things together, our consciousness and our inspired action, that allows us to dream the world as it ought to be. Because we are God in action. As we often say around here, God can only do for us that which we allow it to do through us, or to put it more succinctly, treat and move your feet. And what we mean around here when we say treat is spiritual mind treatment, which is the form of affirmative prayer that we teach around here. And when we do this, have consciousness, take inspired action, what we're doing is taking responsibility. Not the kind of responsibility that looks at who's to blame for the mess we're in. Not the kind of responsibility that looks to the past and says, who did this? Who got us here? No, that's not the kind of responsibility I'm talking about. I'm talking about the responsibility that says, well, here we are. In this moment, this is what we have, and we can do better. And we will do better. We're taking responsibility. We are part of Centers for Spiritual Living. And as part of Centers for Spiritual Living, we have a vision. We envision a world that works for everyone and for all of creation. And as part of that, we see a world in which each and every person lives in alignment with their highest spiritual principle, emphasizing unity with God and connection with each other. A world in which individually and collectively we are called to a higher state of consciousness and action. This from the CSL website. We dream the world as it ought to be through our responsibility and our right action. And of course, each of us gets to decide for us what is the highest calling for us, what is our right action in the world, right? It might be volunteering, it might be fundraising, it might be donating, it might be organizing. Whatever it is, we each get to decide. It all matters. And while we're doing this, just a little reminder to myself as much as anybody else, we get to practice nonviolence. Now, I know I did a whole talk about nonviolence back in February, so don't worry, I'm not repeating that. Just a little reminder that as we act in the world, we get to, are called to be humane in the face of inhumanity. We refuse to vilify, condemn, or dehumanize. I had a I had an opportunity to practice what I preach recently. I was having dinner at a neighborhood restaurant here, sitting at the bar, and a man walked in wearing a sweatshirt that proudly and loudly proclaimed his political viewpoint. And I knew right away, I'm like, I think we're on opposite sides of the political spectrum. He stepped up to the bar right next to me, ordered a shot, and then started to proclaim very loudly in a restaurant here in this neighborhood in Portland how much he hates Portland. And how much he hates the people who live in Portland. He's from Eastern Oregon. And as he's going on and on about how much he hates Portland, I see the bartenders retreating to the far end of the bar. But then this man says something very interesting. He says, but you know what most people don't understand about people like me? As much as I hate Portland, I will defend it. I hate Portland, but I will not hesitate to defend it. And so I said to this man, I said, you know what? I said, I'm not going to hate you. I do not hate you. I said, we are obviously on different ends of the political spectrum, but you know what? I know we're both Americans. We're both proud Americans. We both love our country. And we can sit at this bar and have a conversation, but I will not hate you. Perhaps he didn't know what to do with that response because he threw back his shot and walked out. So I was sitting there going, did I do any good just now? I tried, right? I tried. But then a bartender walked over and said, thank you for putting yourself in the middle of that. That was pretty intense. And you diffused it. Yeah. Yeah. Right? So I hope to remember that the next time something like that happens. Because as I said last week, right, we build our courage by being courageous. So. And as we're called to being humane in the face of inhumanity and taking collective action, We can also take faith in knowing that our collective action is more than the sum of its parts. There's so much power in collective action, especially when it's directed towards a common goal, a common purpose, right? There's power in that commitment. And through that collective action and that collective commitment, we in the collective, and I mean all of the we's around the world, demonstrate more and more of that divine wisdom and that divine love. And as we're doing this, of course, yes, collective consciousness, yes, collective action, and collective inclusivity. And what I mean by this is, as we want to spread more of that good for more people, as we want to be more of our humanity for those who are feeling and are disenfranchised, we need and we are called to include everyone, even those we feel we are in opposition to. Yes, I want safety for immigrants and refugees, and I want you to be safe in your home. Yes, I want Muslims and Jews and Sikhs to be free to express their religious faith, and I want religious freedom for all. Yes, I want self-expression for transgendered people, and I want everyone to express from their unique self. Yes, I want true justice and equity for African Americans, which does not mean I want less justice and equity for other people. To this final point, I learned this quite powerfully from Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith back in 2020 during the racial justice protest in the wake of the murder of George Floyd. Dr. Beckwith gave this illustration. He said, if you say in response to Black Lives Matter, all lives matter, that's like saying, my house is on fire, all the firefighters come, all their attention and focus and energy is on putting out the fire at my home, and somebody who lives down the street whose home is quite safe and not on fire comes running up and says, but what about my house? Your house is not on fire. Tending to those whose lives are on fire does not mean I don't want you to be safe. Your house is fine and will still be fine after we are done putting the fire out over here. Right? Reverend Dr. Roger Teal comes at this same point, but from a different angle. I heard him say in his Sunday message a few weeks ago, compassionate living does not mean moral neutrality. There will be times when we must discern injustice if we do, and speak it out, and do whatever we feel called to do, to appropriate action. There's room for that in a compassionate life. Most definitely, there's room for that in a compassionate life. And we are always still called to the highest vibration of which we are capable. Calling out injustice and being in our rooted in our humanity, we can do both at the same time. Compassion for all does not mean overlooking or spiritual bypassing injustice in one place because we are afraid that it might be interpreted as not caring about somebody else. That's not at all what that means. It means tending to the fire where it is. So yes, we are called to be inclusive in our compassion and understanding. In that same sermon by the sea, Ernest Holmes said this, you will never discover a person who is full of emotional judgment and condemnation of others who is doing anything other than unconsciously releasing the tension of a burden so great to be borne that he does not even permit it to come to the light of day to be seen, for he could not face it. Right? I'm sure all of us can look at our own life and go, yeah, there were times when I acted from an unhealed burden. So as we do all of this, we get to be for someone, right? And not against anyone. Which is why just a few lines later in that same sermon, Ernest Holmes gave us one of his most famous lines. Find me one person who is for something and against nothing, who's redeemed enough not to condemn others out of the burden of his soul, and I will find another Savior, another Jesus, and an exalted human being. So in all of this that I've been talking about this month, let's be for our humanity and not against anyone. This community knows its astounding humanity. It, you, act on it every day. I've seen it. I've seen your kindness. I've seen your love. I've seen your generosity. I've seen your forgiveness, right? And I've seen this community's high consciousness, and I've seen the commitment to going even higher, which means we can and do dream the world as it ought to be, rooted in our astounding humanity. In a moment, we'll move into prayer, and our prayer this week is going to be a community prayer. I'll start us out, and then there'll be some silence. And during that silence, I invite each of us to just claim what it is ours to do to see more of this humanity in the world, whatever it is for you. So during that silence, I invite you to claim that for yourself, and then I'll close out the prayer. But before our prayer, we're going to have a poem by Brennan Flood. I first got to know Brennan a few years ago when I was teaching a class at CSL Colorado Springs. Brennan is not with us in person, but they are with us via our live stream. So hello, Brennan. Since first meeting Brennan a few years ago, they have completed all of the coursework needed to become a practitioner, and just last week completed successfully the written exam and will soon take their oral panel to be a licensed spiritual practitioner. And because Brennan can hear us, let's congratulate them. Thank you, Brennan, for answering that call. Our movement is blessed to have you in our practitioner ranks. I recently heard Brennan recite one of their most recent poems, and I immediately thought, wow, it speaks directly to what we're talking about this month. So I emailed them and asked if they would be willing to recite it for us. Brennan sent me an audio file, which I will play for you in just a sec. As soon as I make sure my Bluetooth is on, it is. And before that, I want to read for you something Brennan wrote in the course of our email correspondence. As a queer, trans, non-binary person, this has been an interesting time to be alive. And when I asked Spirit, how am I to be in the world now, this poem was the answer. I know that this message is so much wider and bigger than my situation alone. Indeed it is. And now, Brennan reciting his poem, Love Louder.
Louder. Love, louder. When injustice from the house on the hill is loud, is your home a place that loves louder? When the world is cluttered with ignorance, a cacophony of dissonance. They know what they do. Forgiveness. For our faith in the highest truth is stronger. Can the hurting bring their woundedness, made sick by a collective resonance based in limitedness? Will they feel God in your presence and experience spirit in your actions as you live your love louder? I believe in your right to hate us and the freedom of your consciousness. And it's never too late to join us as we lay down our defensiveness and diffuse the illusion of separateness. I hear the fear in your anger. For you are not my enemy. The circle of my heart is wider. Come meet me in the middle, my friend, for there is no end to a world where love wins. There is no end, for there is only oneness, only one us. When pain in the world gets loud, is your heart a place that loves louder?
As we take a breath and acknowledge that one loving presence, that one love that was so immense, so endless, it has no choice but to constantly create from and as itself, because it can never run out of its love. It can never run out of its abundance and its beauty and its wisdom and its strength. So it creates and it loves and it creates and it loves. And it created us in its image to be its love in this world, on this planet. And for that, I am grateful. For I know that it lives and breathes and has its being in every human being that ever has been, is now, or ever will be. And I know it is always the whole of each and every person. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that it has called us forth in these times to be its love, to love louder into the world. And in this silence, I invite each person within the sound of my voice to claim and know how they love louder. And I invite you to do this in the quiet of your own hearts and minds. Thank you, life. Thank you, spirit. I give thanks to that creative alchemy that accepts our prayers, our commitments. I give thanks for every high consciousness, every loving heart committed to our humanity for all. And with gratitude for this, and with absolute faith that it is done because it is the truth and it is the way the world ought to be, it is the way the world is, I release these prayers into that creative medium, into the law of the one loving presence, knowing that it is done, it is done, it is so, and I invite anyone who would like to join me in saying, and so it is. Thank you, Brennan, for sharing your creativity and your practitioner's heart with us. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.